During our regular service, the Eucharist, I read the Great Commandment every single time. Whoever does the first part of the service reads to you. That's why I have it memorized. The first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like unto it, which is how I wish we all spoke anyway. The second is the same. It's just as important. Love your neighbor with all your heart, soul, and mind. And we just go past it. That's a wonderful sentiment. That's right. We need to love God and love our neighbors, and we're all just going to be great. But if you take a look at it, he is talking to the lawyer, talking to the legal people, talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and just said he shamed the Sadducees, and they're not there anymore because they don't want to argue with him anymore. And at the end of this reading, it says, and they stopped asking him questions, and they went away forever. It's because, you know, he just was too brilliant for them. And he interpreted the Bible with authority, which they recognized. And so when they asked him, what's the great commandment? They were trying to say, what is the most important thing God says to us? Why don't you say that out loud, and then we'll accuse you of blasphemy because you made a pronouncement, and then you'll be in trouble. But what he does is he takes the Ten Commandments and he compresses them into two in a beautiful way. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Let's just think about that for a second. Take some time to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Just do it for about 10 minutes. Every single thing you have in your heart, all that you have, give it to God. Every bit of mental strength and power and wisdom you have, make it point to God. Make it open to His leading. Heart, soul, and mind. Give everything to God. And see how long you can maintain that. It's hard to do. It's impossible to do. And then he says something even worse, less, more impossible. And the second, he says, is just as important. So he takes one commandment and stretches that into two. He makes it, puts a semicolon in there, which I'm not sure you're supposed to do, but he made it into one big commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the person you are with. Love your neighbor. Love the people coming to you as well as you take care of yourself. Bless them as much as you bless yourself. Give to them as much as you give to yourself. Be as forgiving of them as much as you are forgiving of yourself. Let me tell you, I'm super forgiving of myself. Not so forgiving of my neighbor with a motorcycle at 5 in the morning. Not at all. On my right, as I look out of my house, I have this wonderful neighbors next door. They're wonderful. I think they're wonderful. I know a couple of them. They all speak Filipino, so I don't know what they're saying about me most of the time. But they are wonderful people. And they have a beautiful lawn because they have a team of people out there working on it all the time. They all live there. They cook things like goat and fish in the back of it. It's wonderful. Smell comes wafting over into my backyard. And they never invite me over for that. How am I supposed to love them? They don't take care of me the way I want to be taken care of. And, of course, my neighbor with the motorcycle. Motorcycles, you know, are the bane of my existence. Only because, I tell you this, because I don't have one. If I had one, I'd probably be better off. Be more tolerant. But I have a hard time loving people. I love myself very well. I take care of myself. I love my family better than I love my neighbors, but I love myself better than I love my family. And they're well aware. And so how in the world can I do what God has said? Follow these commandments. It was so much easier when I just had the 10. Don't commit murder. Got it. Easy not to commit murder, right? Might be hard to kill somebody by accident, but it's easy not to commit murder. Don't steal. No problem. When I was a kid, I had a problem with it, but I stopped. I don't steal anymore. Right. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. A little more difficult. My neighbor, like I said, has a jet ski that I like to look at a lot and dream about. Don't honor your father and mother. Not a hard thing. Love my father and mother. For me, it's easy. Do the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are super easy compared to these two when they're compressed. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so one of the problems is we had the Ten Commandments and they were held up as the standard. You look at them and you say, okay, I've done that. I've done that. I got trouble with that one. I've done that one. I'm doing pretty good. I got 85% this week. I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. But that is not what they're for. They're not a checkoff list to see how I'm going to gain God's favor. Jesus not only was giving us this compressed version of the Ten Commandments, he was telling us that the commandments are not as important as a thing to do to gain God's grace as it is to live out having God's grace poured into us first. He's not saying, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbor as yourself. This is the standard. Make sure you check this regularly so that you are doing what God wants and you're in God's favor, God's smiling down and saying, yes, you've done very well today. Nice job. I'm not saying he doesn't, you know, appreciate our behavior, but what the commandments are actually a litmus test. They are, am I allowing the Lord to pour into my heart and change me so that these two commandments become honored in my life, not because I'm trying so hard to do them, but because I have allowed the Lord through my faith and worship and prayer life and active ministry and generosity, have I allowed myself to be changed so that loving God with all my heart, soul, and mind is less of a burden, less of a struggle than it was before, because I'm not just loving him with all the little bit I have, but what God is pouring into me, reflected back to him. And then, of course, this love our neighbor as ourself. Almost important to maintain. You can be a very nice person and still not love your neighbors as yourself. And what God is saying is that when I'm involved in your life, this love your neighbor as yourself, which is not the message of the world, by the way, love your neighbor as yourself becomes something that you can't help but do because God breaks out inside of you. He changes who you are. He rocks your heart. He shifts it. He makes it something you are compelled to do, you are called to, you can't stop it. And therefore, you engage in it in the way Jesus says. You can be the nicest person in the world and the most worshipful person in the world and still not honor these two commandments if you keep God out of the picture. So what he calls us to is radical transformation, which is terrifying and disheartening and frustrating. We heard about Abraham this morning in the Sunday school class. God came to him and said, leave everything you love, all of your land and family and your father's house and your ancestors buried in the family plot there and everything. Get up and walk from this beautiful oasis by the river and walk across the desert and go to where I'm going to give you a land over here. I need you to get up and go. And he said, okay. He took his family and went, 75-year-old man. That is radical. And the struggle that we have is that we don't mind the light faith stuff. We don't mind, I'm talking about myself too, the community, it's wonderful. And the songs are pretty. And every once in a while, we'll, you know, Thanksgiving, we'll do something for somebody who feeds them and they're hungry. But what God has called us to is something more radical than that. Our lives are actually supposed to change. And there are members of this church, I've seen that happen in them. They start facing one way and they end up facing God. Not because they have done this to say, okay, if I do this, I'll be in the right with God and he will love me more. What they will say is, God has got a control of me and I can't stop myself and I'm moving towards what he wants me. And it's frightening, but it is the best thing. It's the holy thing. It's the thing God wants to get his will done on this earth through us. So these prayers that we pray are supposed to be transformational. This call to giving that we have during the stewardship month is supposed to be transformational. I talked last week about money, and many of you came back to church this Sunday. Thank you. God bless you. This talk about loving God with all your whole soul and mind is not supposed to be a goal we never can meet, so you should be frustrated, but that if you say, Lord, I can't, meet me most of the way and do the work for me, he'll say absolutely. Dear Lord, make me more open to loving others and to being Jesus to others. I can't. I don't like people. I'm an introvert. He'll say, I can bridge the gap for you. I can give you gifts that you didn't know you had. I can help you with the struggle. I can be the presence you need in the midst of this difficulty with your neighbor. He wants to break into your vault in your heart and free the gift of the Holy Spirit that he has given you. And that's why we sit in prayer. And that's why we come together and worship, so that we might let the Lord give him an open space to let loose in our lives and transform us into people who love him more, with more of our heart, with more of our soul, with more of our mind. And in those times, even when we can't stand it, we start loving our neighbors the same way we love ourselves. That is the great call of the Christian. And it's only two things. And you can repeat them every night before you go to bed in your own liturgy. Say to yourself, I'll say to myself, David, what are the great commandments? Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord God, help me to be who you needed me to be. Let's pray. Gracious Father, you call us into the impossible. When we are people of your word, we become gentle bulldozers. We become servant leaders. We become people who sacrifice so others might gain and that we might gain later on. It is a controversy and an irony in our lives. Father, we pray that you would break into our hearts more fully, that we would allow you to do that work which you have caused us, want us to do, to break open and to break out and to transform us, to forgive us of our sins, Lord God, and to set us free to do your will with your light before us. In Jesus' holy name, amen.